This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You're listening to part one of our February 8th Jimmy Doan Show.
Politicians, they have immense power to do harm to the economy, but they don't have any power to do
help.
Good. No.
Wow.
Closing main breaker.
And you know what that means, boys and girls.
It's time for the Jimmy Doan Show.
We're here.
The Jimmy Doan, we're back. We're back.
Jimmy
it's,
Doan.
What is today, about the 8th or so?
February 8th.
February 8th. This is, it's almost a week after Hugo Chavez.
Hugo Day.
Yeah.
I
understand that on February, 1 week ago, he proclaimed February 2nd.
February 2nd is Hugo Day.
He proclaimed it on February 1st. He gave everybody 24 hours.
He gave everybody 24 hours, as I said. So it's 1 week ago. Today's the 8th, so a week ago, he proclaimed February 2nd as, then that was the day he took power or something like that, or?
I guess.
I think that's the celebration, is that that was the day he was swept into office 10 years ago. And he now, of course, they want to change the Constitution again. Remember I told you before, he wasn't going to go quietly. He wants to, so that he can have another 10-year term. And, you know, he's passing out money like crazy, but...
He's our boy.
He's our boy. I went to the... hello to Jack Rhodes.
Jack is here.
Jack is here. Turn Jack's mic off, okay?
Okay, there you go.
Turn Mike's jack off.
Right, yeah.
Counselor Curtis.
Hey.
We have some legal things today.
No, we do.
We have some legal things on...
some legal trouble,
We have some
usual.
Legal things we need to talk about. And Engineer Eric.
Mixing away.
Mixmeister, that's right. And the Poltergeist is here.
The Poltergeist.
That's right, the Poltergeist. Not to say a word, but...
Hey, and we got to say thanks to a few people for writing in.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you, Bart, for the stories and everything.
We're going to talk about a couple of them.
Well, maybe.
Another record month, of course. Woo!
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
record month.
Thank you all.
Keep listening.
Big time record.
Tell your friends, and don't forget, write us a little note on iTunes or something. You know, we got another, somebody else wrote in and said they
Yeah, Neil wrote, Neil made a great video about the Fed. Oh, it was great.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah.
People who finally recognizing the Fed is a big problem. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Man, and Stitch, oh, that Stitch sent in the Chavez Day thing.
Oh, that's right, okay, yeah. So, because we would have missed it.
Well,
I don't
sure.
think so.
Well, no,
I have an alert on my computer
that
anytime
event.
The word Chavez, it's like the Cray computers that they use at NSA, anytime the word Chavez comes across my computer, it, it pops up.
My cell phone vibrates.
Yeah, it vibrates. Yeah. And where do you keep your cell phone?
Ow!
Okay.
And shout out to Tia Tuaki, too. He's been corresponding here.
Yeah, that's right.
The Hawaiian surfer out there, Tia Tuaki.
God almighty. So anyway, speaking of the Fed, you know, one of the things that we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but I came across something the other day that occurred to me.
Oh, the music's fading out.
It's fading out. That's right.
Tasty.
Do you understand that 75 years ago today, 75 years ago today, you could walk into any bank in the United States of America with a $20 bill and purchase and exchange it for a $20 gold piece.
Made out of real gold?
Yes.
Come on,
Jim. Absolutely. You could 75
in our legs.
No.
Absolutely. We read that in a comic book.
No, yeah, exactly. No,
you saying,
Mad Magazine.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You could, in 1933, before the holiday or whatever it was, or maybe it was 76 years ago, whatever, you could walk into any bank in the United States of America with a $20 bill and walk out with a $20 gold piece.
And now,
today.
Now, Jimmy's favorite line is not.
That's counseling. Not anymore. It takes 45 $20 bills today to get that same exact $20 gold.
Wow.
Piece. 40. That's what the Fed has done
either
to our
that
money.
Or a small firearm.
Right. Well, yeah. No,
the Fed. You're talking about the Federal Reserve? Or,
yeah.
But, Jimmy, they kept us from having a big crash like this one we just had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't. You know, they don't have the stellar performance record, do they? I mean, for wouldn't you realize that in 1913, the Fed was set up to ensure full employment and a stable economy, okay, since 1913. You know, you look back and you think, yeah, not so much. You know, I could have probably done a little better
the
job by not being here in the first place.
haven't even made it 100 years, and we are in trouble.
Yeah,
well,
now, this
and
of course,
and
the
Great Depression,
is,
of course, was part and parcel of the whole thing.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, and of course, and what's so funny about this, we're going to talk a lot about this bailout, which is, you know, it's funny. They call it the economic recovery package, which, of course, it is no such thing.
I hope you got some good pig noises over there, yeah. Engineer Eric.
I do. I've got a couple from our favorite pig, Pelosi.
Pork.
Yes. Oh, man. Pork and
well, you know, what, of course, you look at this stuff and you see the scrambling around. I'm looking here at one article, for instance. The U.S. plans, the United States, the government plans a $500,000 cap on executive pay.
Well, this is part of the plan.
This is part of the plan. They scrutiny, here's another headline, scrutiny of bankers' perks will grow, too. They have to sell all their jets. And
well, since we were here last.
But they're going to find another way around it.
Nationalization gets a new serious look.
We've been talking about this stuff for a couple months, but we have to catch everybody up. Since we were here last.
Which is like 2 weeks.
Right. Well, it's four weeks. I'm sure everybody has heard Obama's actual remarks that this is not the time for profit.
Yeah.
I mean, what in the world? And that's where he gets the 50%, I mean, the 500K pay cap.
Yeah.
And
well,
Emanuel's,
it doesn't apply to the money that's already been put out there. You know, all the bailout money that's been put out there, those people aren't capped. It's any new money that gets.
Well, as for now.
Right. As for now. Right. There actually was some talk of even companies that didn't get any government money.
Oh, yeah.
If they have a contract or if they're regulated by the government, that they get capped.
Well, and there's no question that they're going there for a couple of reasons. I mean, number one, everybody should know that all companies are creations of the state anyway. So, I mean, they're going to justify it by that, you know.
Yeah.
But then they have to cap everybody else's pay. Because if they don't, all those executives whose pay got capped will bail and go somewhere where the pay isn't capped. So they're going to have to cap all the competition's pay as well.
Obama just wanted to put a cap in the ass.
Ow. Give him another doobie or something, because, you know, this is going.
We need to exchange it with the placebo doob.
Yeah, that's right.
No, look, nobody has understood what this has meant so far. I mean, one bank said, the banks are starting to backtrack now, and I literally saw one of the bankers said, we drank the Kool-Aid. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, he knows it now. They know it now.
Yeah.
And now they can change the deal, you know.
Well, a lot of this, what's stunning to watch, of course, is the reality check that individuals are going under. One of the big problems that they say about this bailout business is that the stupid people out here, the stupid citizens of the United States are saving their money. You know, they're retrenching.
Well, that was the first bailout. That was the
first
one. No,
they're still doing it. I mean, the first bailout part was that the banks were not lending money.
Right.
And that was that they, in fact, were buying up other banks, buying up other to rebuild their capital base. But one of the things that people are complaining about is that individuals, just regular mom, dad, you know, the guy that's making, you know, $30,000 a year.
They're not outspending.
They're not outspending, right. They're actually saving money. I mean, there's like 100 million people out here that suddenly decided rather than use their house as an ATM, which they can't do anymore.
Right.
They've decided actually to, and the government, to save money, and the government people.
They're pissed,
right. Wait a minute, why aren't you out there spending? Well, one of the things that people don't realize is there's only two kinds of money. There is current consumption money. That's the stuff that you go out today and you spend on groceries or your new plasma TV or your car.
Craigslist escorts,
whatever it is. That's right.
That you need today.
That you need today or want today.
Necessity.
And right. Then the other money is the money you put aside for the future. And that's investment money. That is capital. That's the money that gets saved for the future. That's the only. Now, what the government is doing with this $1 trillion that they're printing up is they are literally transferring the money that your children would earn and save, and grandchildren and great grandchildren would earn and save, and they're taking that money and putting it in today's consumption. Well, the problem is with a consumptive society, you have a stagnant society, because without saving for the future, without productivity improvements that come from investment and R&D and that sort of thing that are future type, that money that I call investment money, future money, without that money available, then you are stuck basically in the consumption society, which can only go downhill. Why? Because things wear out.
Well, it consumes, like you said.
It consumes, right. It consumes itself. It eats itself.
Right.
That's exactly. And that's what they're doing. I mean, what's stunning to me is that when you realize that this $1 trillion that they are printing in the process of printing up, that is not money. That is money that is your great-grandchildren are coming, still attached with the umbilical cord to the womb, are inheriting $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in debt. on that day.
Well, nobody understands how that can be, Jimmy. I mean, it doesn't. The connection there is too tenuous for most people to make. I mean, well, you know, they've got the money. They've got all this money, or they're going to print it or borrow it. And
they're
going
to borrow it from the future.
And the Keynesians believe that if everybody spends money, that this velocity of money increases.
Well, this is what's so frightening in a way, is that it shows you, let me put it this way, that velocity business was thrown out the window. I was here in 1974 when the Phillips curve and all that velocity business was thrown into a cocked hat. Why? Because we had stagflation. Stagflation had never occurred before in the United States. And the Keynesians were wandering around kind of, you know, bug-eyed and just with this deer in the headlight look on their face saying,
You want to explain stagflation real quick?
Stagflation is when you have a stagnant economy, mm-hmm. you have high unemployment, you have high inflation at the same time, mm-hmm. And people are still out of work. And historically, the Keynesians have said, if you spend money to put people back to work, then the unemployment, then you can have inflation, yes, but you have low unemployment because you are spending this money to put people back to work. Well, in 1974, it didn't work. It would backfire. They had high unemployment and high inflation at the same time. And they were literally saying, how can this be?
What about the Japan bailout you sent me?
Well, this is exactly what's happening. I have it right here.
What Jimmy just said is exactly what's going to happen with this new spending, because I've looked at this new $900 billion or $800 billion package.
To start.
Right. Well, this is the new one. Okay. On top of the $700 billion one that went to the banks. Okay. This one, if you look at where it goes, there's about six places to where it goes. Where it does not go, Jimmy, is into any investment. That is to say, it doesn't create businesses for the future. Right. There's a way you can spend money.
There's a reason why they do that. And that's because investing for the future cannot pay off today. It's for the future by definition. I mean, the fact is when you start to do some R&D, like in the pharmacy industry, for instance, you're looking 2, 3, 4, 5 years out. That what they're talking about is they want somebody to spend the money today.
Well, but see, they would spend it on like the building and the R&D and those people. I mean, the labor to start the business would be, you know,
right. Well, they're going to create work, but they're not going to create jobs.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And of course, a lot of things you have to ask yourself is where are these jobs coming from? I mean, I'll tell you this much: that fired CEO that made $500,000 last year, I don't see him out there standing on a shovel putting together a road. I mean, you know, the fact
is, and in fact, the stimulus package that they were talking about, which was going around, when I looked at it, what was the Florida opportunities? It wasn't like, you know, IT professionals. It was all construction infrastructure.
No, you're like, if you are in construction, you would hit the jackpot.
Especially
if you do government contract work.
Yeah.
I mean, for the next 4 or 8 years, you're going to have a boon to your business.
Well,
but
except
then, of
for
course,
the fact that you're
going to
have inflation. Yeah, but well, the thing.
Right,
the
and
thing,
the inflation.
And because that, you know, the price of bread is going to be $5, $10 or whatever it is, as we've seen happen in the last several years, as I said before. Now, one of the things that I said before, the way this goes, this has been very well described. I mean, this has been outlined in meticulous detail by Friedrich von Hayek in his book called The Road to Serfdom. And he shows in this book, it's a thin book. It's not the easiest read in the world because he's very meticulous. But if you get a chance, get the book. It's, I don't know what it is, maybe 90.
They have it on audio tape as well.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. right. They do have it on audio tape.
I'm sure you can
unabridged.
Get it first.
Unabridged, and you can get it. Yeah, exactly. Amazon, check the used and newer used.
The point is that what he shows is once you start down this path, you have to come with complete control of the economy. I mean, with a government with a totalitarian control of the economy. This is called the road to serfdom. And I mean, he lays it out in meticulous detail. And one of the things that I mentioned, I think, in the last
there's
podcast,
a link to that on our links page, the Jimmy Doan site.
Oh, that's right. Yep. And if you can get it from Amazon, we get a nickel
or something. Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
I got a note from Amazon that said, nope, you didn't get any money this month.
Oh, man.
So anyway, but I don't know if you remember that in my last podcast, I said that very often this trail, this road to serfdom path, it follows a pretty well-defined line. And usually the end, the last admission of incompetence, malfeasance, misfeasance, and everything is when the government imposes what we call wage and price controls.
Right.
Well, it's interesting that wage controls. They want to do that today. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, they're jumping ahead. They're jumping ahead on this thing because, let's face it, wage controls are nothing more than a price control on labor, or if you want to call it. I mean, it's price and price. I don't know why they call it wage and price controls like there's something different. It's all the same thing. It's all
just because the two seem to, they have some opposite correlations as well.
Well, they do and they don't. They don't really. And I'll tell you why. Because all money ultimately is wages. All money, even if, you know, a business that spends 70% of its money on stuff, actually, it's not the stuff that gets the money, it's the people that make the stuff. All money is actually wages. So when you talk about, as I say, when you talk about wage and price controls, it's either, it's all wage controls or it's all price controls. They're the same thing. They're totally.
All I was talking about was there are ways
the curve
that prices can go up and labor costs can go down at the same time.
No. No. Can't happen.
Well, I think for
no, because if prices go up, that means the people that make those items are getting more money. The price, I mean, if the simple fact is the pencil doesn't get the money. I mean,
there can be a little overlap.
No, there can't be. Oh, money is only good to people,
right?
I mean, there's not a thing. The tractor, the coal mine, the sand on the beach, that don't get the money. I'm sorry, it's only people that get money. So if you, I'm just sorry, they're the only ones that have any, you know, your dog doesn't get it. Well, maybe gets a little bit. I mean, but my point is that the only people that can use money are people. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Please. The only people that can use money are people. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And
makes sense to me.
Human type.
And
people.
Who's been smoking the doobie?
Yes. Jimmy's in here. So anyway, as I mentioned last time, there's two things that I do want to, before we continue on here, I do want to mention.
Okay.
Early in the podcast. One, buy gold.
Mm-hmm. Buy gold. You've been saying this for years.
But I'm saying it now. Sound of my voice, I believe that within the next 24 months, conservatively speaking, we're going to see $1,500 gold. Today it's about $900. Jimmy's already buying his, so, mm-hmm. The more you buy, the more Jimmy's goes up, so Jimmy's happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
Buy gold. And the other thing I wanted to mention was, which we also mentioned, people that auto read, is the LouRockwell.com.
We have a link to that.
But that's for some really good stuff. Gary
Lou,
North.
L-E-W.
Yeah, L-E-W.
Rockwell.
Rockwell.com. Gary North has been putting stuff on there, and he's an old-time gold bug from the 30 years or 40 years ago, whatever it was. I remember him from... But he has some pretty good stuff. He's a little bit of a religious nut, but hey, I know other than that...
You know what's great? These guys at Odyssey Marine Exploration, too. You seen that?
No.
These are the guys that are finding...
I can't watch that show, dude. I have it too
on
tape.
No, it's not a show. It's a company that's finding all this gold that's buried.
Oh, my God. Did you see they found a new one?
The show is called Treasure Quest, and it's on Discovery Channel. I have two of them taped right now.
Yeah.
And it's painful to watch because they are...
They're bringing it up by the...
Exactly. I mean, they can't carry it up.
I was looking at that.
Pieces of eight, man.
I was looking at this one. They said they had something like 14 tons of silver that they were, and I'm going like, tons.
No,
I mean, I've got like a couple of quarters. I've got some old Kennedy halves.
One of the finds, I think they estimated at 500 billion in gold.
Yeah.
500 billion.
Well, that's going to bring the price of gold down.
Oh.
Because it's treasure gold, believe it or not.
Of course, needless to say, the governments are all over this, rice.
Well, I mean, they want you to keep 1% or something, you found that shipwreck? Oh, yeah, we lost that one in 1492. But it's still ours.
I know the Spanish had a big deal about theirs.
They've all had a big deal.
This one that they just found, wasn't that a Brit one?
Yeah.
They already had a deal with the Brits?
This was in certain water. They've been working it out somehow, but that's a good place to get gold. If you can invest in gold there.
Now, wait a minute. Our erstwhile engineer and mixmaster here is a diver.
Yeah, well, so is Jack.
What am I saying? Dude, of course, you're the... Wait a minute, and you've got all the new
Well, wait a second.
Stuff.
Yeah, but it's 1,000 feet deep or something.
Well, some of that stuff is only a couple hundred feet deep.
Actually, that stuff that they just found off of the... over there off Puerto Rico was in like 35 feet of water. And it was a huge find, yeah.
And why weren't we there?
I don't know, man. I'm actually in the process of building a robot that'll hopefully go find it for us.
Show's over. Go diving.
Yeah.
Beep.
So anyway,
well, to bring us back, Jimmy.
Yeah,
we were talking about.
So Jimmy says, buy gold.
And what was the other thing?
Buy gold. Second, send it to us.
Right. That was the two things.
That was it. That was the two things.
That's all we need.
Right. Buy gold. Send it.
Now,
to us.
I did hear a little bit about. I mean, I want to do this before I forget about it. But did you hear Pelosi was concerned about the stimulus bill getting through quickly?
She's concerned about stimulus.
Yeah, I want to slide it before anybody looks at it. It's 800 pages.
Listen to this, what she says.
Here's a good one. This is about the jobs. And Americans could possibly lose their jobs if we don't get the stimulus bill, bastard. But I didn't know how many Americans were going to lose their jobs. But let's listen to Nancy and see what she says
Speaker
here.
Of the House.
Yeah.
Economic recovery package is going too fast, and maybe it won't be ready by the President's Day recess.
Every month that we do not have an economic recovery package, 500 million Americans lose their jobs. I don't think we can go fast enough to stop that. President asked.
Okay, 500 million Americans per month lose their jobs
a month
after if we don't get the stimulus package through.
That's a lot. You know that. Now let me just say, now the population of the country is 320 million.
Yep. So that means you lose your job once and
twice a month.
And then that's for every single man, woman, and child.
Right.
Counselor Tommy wrote in and said, I think that involves our sperm too.
Yeah. I don't have much of that left, but I mean, a couple of million right there.
Right.
That's
wow.
It.
There was another one.
So obviously she was confused that day.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Where was she talking?
She got her millions, billions, and thousands, and tens.
Was this at a cocktail party?
No, that was a press conference. I mean, you
was it a press conference?
She just misspoke.
Of course she did. She
really just does know
500,000.
Yeah, 500,000. Something like that.
Oops.
And the unemployment rate is up to 7.6%. But I think, as I recall, during the early in the Reagan administration, it was over 8%, or I think it was considerably more than 8%. Might have even been 10%.
I got one more.
One more digression?
One more. Another Pelosi quote here.
Pelosi.
Let's check this one out here.
Can you assure the American people that there will be no pork barrel spending, none of these earmarks, these bridges to nowhere, these phony deals that are going on, that legislators won't be able to bury stuff for their districts.
Wolf Blitzer, asking her.
The stuff that's been so highly publicized.
I can pledge to you that no earmark or any of that, any description you want to make of it, will be in the bill that passes the House.
Yeah. No point.
Absolute flat out.
And you think you got the support? Because, you know, this is the bread and butter for a lot of your members, Democrats and Republicans.
There will be no earmarks in the economic recovery package that passes the House.
Okay. Oh,
now
we heard it from her.
Now you heard it from her. Now, number one, first of all, it's 800 pages, the bill. And I don't think, as we speak, I don't think it's been finalized.
But it's in 300-point font.
Well, whatever. Yeah. that's what Robert Byrd does. Have you ever seen Robert Byrd on the Senate when he talks? I'll talk about that in a second. But my point is that it's 800 pages. There'll be no pork in there. What you had to see was the video of this. She held her hand up.
No, yeah, she did.
Oh,
she held her hand up.
As a pledge. I mean, like you do a pledge.
I promise to do my duty.
Well, I'll tell you. If she held her hand out just a little bit more, it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Seriously, this is such a pork-laden thing. I mean, Hogzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Hogzilla.
It is. What is funny about this is if you go to Kegel's Cartoons, which are on... you can
put a link to it.
Yeah. Thank you, Doobie Man. So anyway, no, it's C-A-G-L-E, and he puts in the day's cartoons. It's like maybe 15 pages, four per page. So, you know, whatever that works out to, 12. Cartoons, and it's stunning to see. He's kind of a liberal guy. His cartoons are kind of liberally, and he's special. And most of the cartoons that he puts on there are of a liberal nature. However, interestingly enough, with this pork barrel business, man, even the liberals are out there saying
look at some of the spending. I mean, first of all, schools. Okay, they're going to build a lot of schools. Okay, which of course immediately produce high quality work ready labor pool.
Right.
Okay.
Where are they building the schools?
They call those indoctrination centers.
Yeah, look, And what do? They're going to suck money out of the budget more. I mean, every school you build, they're not going to be private schools, so they're all going to require funding.
Eric, do right? we have that how giant is sucking add, sound?
There? Yeah, how is this going to add to the economy? It can't.
Well,
I mean, it'll add to the building construction, construction.
Again, they're creating work. They're not creating jobs.
Right, exactly.
Temporary.
It's a temporary.
You can hire
fix.
Someone to build the room, but then the work's done.
I have
he
here
have
in my
job.
In my hands.
What do you got?
Hold
I've
it
got,
up. Hold it up to the mic.
I'm
so
holding
we can
it up
it.
To the microphone.
There we
right
go.
Here.
There we go. I see it.
Stimulus plan has $1 billion to hire more local police.
Oh yeah.
So you don't.
Oh, yeah.
You're a little. I'm
well,
a,
Barney Frank was screaming that. Today.
Well, I've been a little nervous about the coming police.
It does
state.
Have some cops. Some, it has some cops
as
and
we,
firemen.
As
in
we
there.
Reinforce the wall around the
yeah,
compound
I mean,
here,
there are
ask
some.
Me another
there
clip.
Are some cops
yeah,
and
yeah,
firemen
that's right.
being
yeah.
hired. No question.
Well, here it is. The economic stimulus plan will shower school districts, child care centers, university campuses with $150 billion. In federal
so
spending.
So schools get $150 billion. Everybody gets a new red fire truck.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, every little town
have
gets
you,
a new...
Let me tell you, and funny you should mention that, because I was looking at the other day at what our local cop cars. Have you seen them? I mean, they are like pimp mobiles from hell.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, when I was growing up, literally, if you look at the old movie, it was a red light on the top and like a hand-wound siren on the you know, and then this red light. And that was it. And I'm telling you, that got the job done. And when you realize today... that most of what police work is stenographer work. I mean, it's after the fact. They show up and they take a report so you can report right. to your insurance company. Nobody gets shot mm-hmm. except maybe the, you know, you get robbed. You get, you know, you maybe get scared or something
they
like that.
They all got that. Nice SUVs down in Tavares.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, up here, they got enough lights. I don't know what it is, but their carbon footprint ain't small. Let me put it that way. I would imagine they got a 2 or 3 12-volt batteries in there running full power to power those lights when they come on. And, I mean, it's got to be fun. You know, you're running down the road, and you got all the lights on, front and back. If, you know, 9 people go into this one thing. I mean, it's just hysterical to watch this. So, anyway, $1 billion more local police. In police hiring, it says here, nearly 100% of the money goes to creating jobs. Of course, the problem that they've got...
Jobs!
Right.
It's like... I saw they said, oh, well, the prisons, one of the great successes has been in the prisons.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what do they produce?
Yeah. More know? Criminals.
Well, I mean, there's no product coming out of there. I mean,
license plates.
Yeah. I mean,
nothing.
You get jobs at the police station the way you get jobs at the school, that being the teachers. But I mean, there's no income. There's no revenue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So anyway, the problem, of course, you've got with a policeman is once you hire him, here's this $1 billion. Once you hire, what do you do the next year? You hire, you know, 100,000, 200,000 policemen, you pay $1 billion.
Exactly.
And then next year, what? You fire him? I mean, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
So it's ongoing. The stimulus package also includes about 2.6.
Well, there won't be a lot of hirings. They'll just kind of ease the budgets of the people who are already there, you know, because everybody knows the money can't last more than 4 or 8 years.
Right.
Yeah, but that won't stop them. They'll still hire.
Only if they expect the money to continue.
Well, it's funny because the senior analyst at the Heritage Foundation, this guy Mulhausen, has written about this COPS program, and he said there's no evidence that the funding of these kinds of programs will stimulate the economy. And it's true. I mean, and what's funny about a lot of this stuff, when you look at a lot of these programs, they have the Senate bill and they have the House bill, and they've been arguing over these. Putting stuff in and taking stuff out, 800 pages worth on both sides. They have big disagreements on this stuff. I mean, they got to have it wrong. I mean, there's no way they can get it right. The question you have to ask yourself is, what I'm saying here, the surprising part of it is that they're very, I don't know of anybody except for Ron Paul, literally, one person out of the 535 up there that has said, none of this money should be allocated. Zero. It should be zero. What is surprising is that even conservative Republicans are not arguing about that they're going to be a stimulus package. They're arguing over how the pie is right. going to be divvied up.
Their small pie was a mere 700 billion.
700 and some billion, right. right. And the other one was upwards of 900 and some billion.
Right.
So they're arguing over the number of chairs on the decks of the Titanic. I mean, it's just stunning.
It's hard to believe that all the Republicans and, quote, conservatives have gotten on board.
As I say, except for Ron Paul. He's
look at this. I mean, Jimmy, I think our audience needs to know you can spend with the idea that your spending is going to create more revenue. Like we've been saying, investment spending, you start businesses. But look at this spending that's in this bill. Almost none of it is going to start any business. I mean, look, they're roads. They've got a couple of $100 billion for new roads and bridges and stuff. I mean, the effect on the economy is going to be ancillary at best. I mean, none of the roads that they're rebuilding in my district, I went and looked at the road, at the list, and I looked at some of the stuff. The roads aren't broken.
Yeah.
They're just old.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still drive on them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're just going to make it prettier. It's like fresh paint on everything.
Yeah. Well, and it was interesting when you see some of the people that laud the programs that FDR put together. One of the things that he did was hired a whole bunch. I was at a party last night put on by our local Harn Museum. And there are a bunch of artists there. And one of the things that the FDR did was he hired tons and tons of artists to put what would be today graffiti, but they were they were murals and everything. And they hired all these artists to put these artists to work, painting buildings. I don't know what else. I mean, they did a lot of artwork. And today, you know, a lot of people that love that sort of thing say, gee, you know, these are legacies from the Depression, and this is really good art, and this is really good stuff. And of course, my question to these people last night, I had dinner, fascinating little dinner over here. Mrs. Jimmy is an art type person, so she had to go, and I had to be drug along like, you know, the drone that I am. But the point is that I asked them, I said, what about this art? And they were saying that's what the stimulus package ought to include, a lot of art stuff like they did in the thing. And I said, well, you know, the problem that you've got is when you choose one artist, you have unchosen at least one other. I mean, who are you to say? And they did the old, well, we get some experts together. We get
right.
The people that really know what they're talking about here.
Well, they're experts.
We get the people that are the museum curators.
Right.
And these people will get, you know, sit in a room and pull an all-nighter and figure who the good artists are and who the bad artists are.
Right.
And they'll give the good artists the money to paint stuff. And I said, but what, you know, how many artists look back in history that were the objects of ridicule and calumny, and today are revered as fabulous. You know, this artwork goes for millions, and yet when they were alive, you couldn't give the shit away.
Right.
And so,
most of today's classical composers, Mozart and all those people, died pauper. You know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you have quite a number of them. Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you look at Gauguin, for instance. I think it was Gauguin. Was it Gauguin or Van Gogh? I forget which one it was. The guy who
one of the goes.
One of the goes, yeah. He was the one that painted mostly in not in the South Pacific, but in the south of France. And his brother saved all of his works. But he actually, during his lifetime, only, quote, sold one work.
Yeah.
And that was to a hooker. You know,
and that was more of a trade.
Yeah, well, whatever. but it was funny because after he died, his brother had to go get it back.
He begrudgingly took it. Damn, have any money.
All right, give me the damn painting.
That's it. Well, but anyway, but then what? Here's an article from February 6th by Martin. I forget what this is. It's called Japan's Big Work Stimulus is a Lesson. And it turns out that Japan.
Obviously not a good one.
Not a good one. Right. I mean, it is what is funny. I don't have the entire article here, but the last line of this article was something to the effect of, we told Japan how to fix their economy in 1990, and that was to not bail out the banks and, you know, let the system correct itself. And they did not take our advice. And here we are today doing exactly what we told them not to do. And I'm looking at this. It's hysterical. And I mean, if it wasn't so tragic for us, as I say, the listeners, Jimmy Doan Show, are going to be okay because they have bought gold and that'll be okay. During those nearly two decades of problems that Japan had in the 90s and 2000s, Japan accumulated the largest public debt in the developed world, totaling 180% of its $5.5 trillion economy. Now, the United States economy is 13 and some trillion. And, you know, we're in
the big is Japan? It's not that big.
Well, yeah.
No, 5.5 trillion economy, and ours is 13
I'm saying,
trillion.
But
no, no. Japan is 120 million people, and the size.
No, it's more than that. It's almost 200 million.
Is it?
Yeah.
Since when?
Wow.
Yeah, they got some folks over there, and it's about the size of California plus a little more.
Okay, but I mean, I thought it was okay. Well, then here, but then yeah, okay. They're pretty productive anyway. While failing to generate a convincing recovery, And it says here, moreover, it matters who what gets built. Japan spent too much on increasingly wasteful roads and bridges and not enough on education, like education and social services.
Yeah, not enough on the stuff that I want.
Yeah, well, yeah, right, exactly. Which studies show deliver more bang for the buck than
studies. Now, I can see some of these studies.
Yeah,
man.
Right. Well, and you know who writes them.
Oh, well, yeah. And you look down further in that article and they talk about how, a quote nonprofit organization, which happens to be titled something like Citizens for Government or something like that, has discovered in their spending, they claim that for every $1 trillion they spent in like healthcare, that they got 1.6 trillion out. I'm calling BS on.
Yeah,
on
no, those. I see this all the time. I can't tell you how many times they do it here locally. They say for every dollar spent on XYZ, we got a $3 return. I said, well, then let's put all the money there.
Right.
You know, why do anything
else? Exactly.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, close everything. Mm-hmm. Anytime you triple your money, I'm in.
Right.
So I mean, that's why you say it's, of course it's bullshit. Let me just read two more quotes out of this thing that make sense to me. It's not enough to hire workers to dig holes and fill them in again. Although, interestingly enough, that's what Keynes recommended as one of his, he actually said that.
I've heard you talk about that before.
Economics.
Creating
one
work.
Lesson from Japan is that public works get the best results when they create something useful for the future.
Duh.
So anyway, the governing Liberal Democratic Party has increased spending again to revive the economy and the party's own flagging popularity. Now, you can eliminate the part about reviving the economy.
They are trying
to get their popularity back up. And I mean, I just...
Like a new skate park. You know, a new water park.
It is bread and circuses. It's bread and circuses.
Oh, there's no question.
This is the downfall. Let me tell you something. This country has never actually declared bankruptcy, but we're headed that way.
In the $110 million destined for the tiny dot town of Tavares that I live in.
Yeah.
There's $300,000 for something called a backyard community project. Let's just call it Pork Fest. I mean, this thing,
man, I'm coming. It's going to be a party.
In Hawthorne out
it's
here.
Like going to be have the big slide water park.
Well, no, there's no question. I mean, look at the stuff that
three hot dogs every day.
There's what? Tens of billions of dollars in there for unemployment benefits. Now there's a winner of an investment,
right? I mean, we're going to keep you. Look, I'm sorry. You want to get a job? No.
No.
We will pay you not to work.
Wasn't there something like we'll pay you to be unproductive? We will pay you to suck off the tit
and not produce anything.
Speaking of sucking on the tit, wasn't there a prostitution, like a prostitution, you know, stand or something like that? No?
What are you talking about, Jack?
I'm talking about the more pork in there.
More pork stand? In
there. Yeah, there was a prostitution shelter. Is what it was, no?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was in there.
I don't know, but where can I get some unemployment benefits futures?
Yeah.
That's it, because, I mean, that, you know.
Yeah, good return on those?
Oh, man, huge, huge.
Well, 100%? I did like, of course, I don't drink anything while you, it loves me say this, but did you hear the Joe Biden quote?
Oh, I love it. Where is it? Yes,
I got it right here. This is Joe Biden at a recent White House meeting with the president and aides. He goes, he's a little concerned because he's worried that the stimulus package could potentially he could have repercussions in 2010 for a lot of the Democrats.
Again, Joe Strasdamas.
This is Joe Strasdamas. He's going, this is his quote. If we do everything right, if we do it with absolute certainty, there's still a 30% chance we're going to get it wrong.
I mean, you know, this is a bit, and I love what I love about this is it's a 30% chance.
Yeah, 30,
not 29,
no,
not 31,
30, yep.
Not 18. It's 30%. And that's if it's exactly 100% correct.
Right.
It's still 30% wrong.
Yep.
Genius.
I mean, you know, you talk about this guy who stumbles.
Joe Strasdamas, baby.
Oh, my God. Those guys. I mean, well, it's as I say, we laugh, but. Nobody's going to be laughing in 24 months from now.
Well, it's going to suck, Jimmy. Look at this. Food stamps. I mean, there are billions of dollars in there for food stamps. I mean, all I can say about that is give a man a fish.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you have to know.
Well, I did. Today I did go for laughs. I went to Big Lots today. which is one
There's some interesting characters there.
Let me tell you something. There's some people that don't need much in the way of food stamps in that place. I mean, I had to wait an extra, I had to idle an extra couple of minutes while somebody crossed in front of me, because it was like a huge waddle duck person. Honest to God. I'm telling you, there's some people that you look at some of the people that are getting the food stamps. You think, I don't know, you could use a little.
The point is, I mean, they may be all super people and everything, but the point is that they're not. Nobody's going to go start a business because they got some extra food stamps this month. You know, I mean, there's not going to be extra students going to school because they build these new schools. I mean, maybe a couple, but really they're going to shift students around and stuff like that. You know,
right.
I mean, it's not like they're going to find new scholars and promote them to be, you know, notable engineers.
Well, the main thing about it is all of the jobs that are created are going to be temporary, virtually every one of them. And they're going to be fairly menial jobs. I mean, we're not talking about the IT people that are out of work. We're not talking about the 5,000 people that are leaving Chrysler or AT&T or IBM or Intel or any of those, or Microsoft, you know, is getting ready to lay off. I mean, it's not like those, as I say, those people are not going to be out there leaning on a shovel someplace.
Right.
It's just, you know, that is not what the stimulus.
7,000 from Macy's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, those are management people. Sure. A lot of those.
There was 20 million for the railroad in Tavares.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, the railroad, I didn't even know that thing still ran.
Well, I tell you what, you must have an influential person.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's why you got that gorgeous courthouse.
Oh, yeah, we got
a courthouse that, I mean, no, most places, I mean, Miami would kill for one.
Oh,
like that.
Definitely.
I mean, you had an influential guy. That's great. Well, there was a thing, of course, about a week or so ago, you know, there was the meeting in Davos, Switzerland. And it was interesting because this year, the Davos, Switzerland, every year has this meeting where the big, huge, big shakers and movers in money. I mean, the billionaires all meet there, and the big corporate people, and some of the government people, some of the treasury secretaries. I'm literally from around the world, from all the big, the G5 nations, the G10 nations, the, you know, G22, whatever it is. And they all show up. This year, a lot of the business people said, not going to go. And it was mostly government people. And I thought it was interesting that the headline on this particular article from Davos is Russia and China blame the capitalists.
Oh, everybody's been blaming the capitalists. I mean, the Democrats have taken the stage so many times in the last few months and said this has been caused by the runaway capitalism. In the inauguration speech, Obama said unbridled capitalism spins out of control or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, they all claim that the Bush, you know, did this horrible deregulation.
Right.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute. There were like 90,000 pages of new regulations issued like in the last 2 years of the Bush presidency. I'm thinking, well, what
unregulation? No, it was re-regulation is what it was. They changed the regulation, but it definitely was not a deregulation.
Well, of course, it's like so many things years ago. Remember when we used to hear about the slashing of the government budget? When in more halcyon times, when the government budgets were increasing every year by fairly dramatic percentages, and they would crank in like a 10% budget increase in the federal budget, and then reality would set in, and they'd only be able to increase it by 7%. And the Democrats were all screaming this was a slash and burn. You know, because they'd been cut from what they were hoping to get.
Right.
Not, it was certainly still an increase from the previous year, but they demagogued this thing to death. So you look at this.
And they'll do that on this particular bill.
Yeah.
Because of the $200 billion that are going to go to schools and other businesses that are going to need funding next year. They're going to do the same thing. They're going to be like, well, if once we've established all this, we have to keep it going.
And there are some people that actually recognize that. And there are some people that are saying, well, wait, where are you going to get the money, you know, 5 years from now? Where's that money?
Oh, well,
they basically say, the recovery will pay for it.
Well, yeah. And in that Japan article, it said, well, you know, the reason it didn't work is because they only did half as much as they should have.
Well, that's
I mean, literally.
Paul, what's his name? Krugman. You know, he's one of those that wants to not spend $2 trillion. He really wants to really put the money in.
You think about this. When we were talking
he's the last of the big time kings.
Jimmy, when we were talking about the $700 billion, was there anybody out there who was thinking we were going to double that again in 3 months?
No.
I'm going to say no. I mean, if you were out there and you were thinking, I mean, when they picked that number, $700 billion, everybody's jaw hit the floor.
No, they didn't. And the reason was that because they had because they had pilloried the Bush team for running a $350 billion deficit one year. They pilloried them. They said, you know, this is irresponsible. And here we are three times that.
And I'm telling you right now,
that's just a start.
You look at every one of these things, and unless you're in construction or a little bit of education or health care, I mean, you're not getting any of this money back. And I mean, the poor people are going to get a bunch of money.
Condoms.
A little bit.
No, if the poor people are not going to get
$300 million for condoms.
What's going to happen is the people that tell the poor people how to get their money are going to get the
when
money.
When I say a bunch, I mean it's going to be a big number overall. Individual ones are going to get like a couple of $100.
It reminds me,
not going to make them start a business.
No. Well, not only that, it reminds me of the you know, when I get those things in the class action suits notes in the thing. It says we've negotiated a $200 million settlement with AT&T.
Here's your
$2.
Right. That's exactly what it's going to be.
That is exactly what
they're
going to say.
I mean, look, literally, you look at this, and there are.
Oh, not only here's your $2. It's a discount on future on your future bill if you file this little thing.
Right.
And of course, 42
no cash
cents,
value.
You know, yeah, no cash value. No, seriously, that's what everybody's going to get.
I love it.
I mean, there are tens of billions of dollars in here for the dang TV upgrades.
Remember, California's giving IOUs.
Which reminds me, did they put that off?
They pushed it back.
They pushed it back.
They didn't. What, the date?
Yeah.
No, then they didn't. Then they didn't push it back.
I heard they re-pushed it back.
Yeah, I heard they re-pushed it back.
Re-pushed it back again. Mm-hmm.
So it's either going to be June 12th or it's going to be next week.
Like that's an economic stimulus. I mean, come on, please, Mr. Obama, take another look at this. You know, it just doesn't work. You just can't spend.
It's everybody's right.
I have a very dear friend of mine that is in the TV business. And he said that they push it back. It's killing him. He says, you know, because he can't make the switch over. He can't really make the switch over and get the ads that he needs to get until it's all mandatory. And he says, you know, this another 4 months. He says, they're killing him. And of course, it's been put off now, I don't know, three or four times already. Like, it's been years over what it was originally planned to be. So,
man.
Well, gosh, and boy, another government success story.
Listener, our co-host EJ sent us in. He goes, the bailout mascot. He thinks we should have a mascot.
Oh, I saw that. Yes.
Yeah, the government today is announcing it's changing its national symbol to a condom because it more accurately reflects the government's political stance. A condom allows for inflation, halts production, destroys the next generation, protects a bunch of pricks, and gives you a sense of security while you're actually being screwed.
Damn, it just doesn't get more accurate than that.
Really?
I mean, no, I've got a
pleasure.
Picture. We're putting this up.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I don't know where people come up with this stuff, but I just... Ask not for whom the bone bones, bones for thee. What is that?
What I keep hearing people say about this bailout in defense of it is, well, the Democrats won the election.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're not even arguing the point.
Yeah. I mean,
you're just arguing that you can do it, not that it's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Look, if they want
well, let me tell you, when here's the deal, and you've actually hit the nail on the head in one of my little pithy platitudes is... So often, matter of fact, almost all the time that government engages in something like this, it's only because they can do it. Not for any other reason. It's just that they can get away with it. And
well, look, if the Democrats want to do it, they have the votes. Go ahead
and
vote.
Well, you know, it's funny because wants to get the three Republicans. And you know,
right, they were all over that on Saturday Night Live last night.
Well, you know, the three Republicans that they want to get are the commie Republicans. They're
Olympia Snow,
Susan Collins, both from Maine,
right.
And Arlen Specter. And those are the
Who's
three
got a horse
that
in the
are
race or
that are horror Republicans. They shouldn't be. They should kick them out of
you
the party.
You need to write those people and tell them what you think about.
Oh, they won't matter. The Collins, Olympia Snow doesn't give a shit one way or the other. She's, you know, she's just she's a commie. And I don't know why. I don't know how she gets elected as a Republican.
I wish they would just admit it. I mean, you hear Pelosi, like, she says the no earmarks thing. I mean,
she's got to know she's lying.
Has to.
She has to know. I mean, either she is the stupidest woman on the planet.
Or that is just a bald-faced lie.
It's the unbelievable bald-faced lie.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it is, Heinrich Himmler, Goering, repeat a lie loud enough and often enough and people start to believe. I mean, can you imagine? She held her hand up in a Nazi salute and said that she pledged. that there would be no pork in this thing. I'm thinking 800 pages. I positively guarantee you that 500 pages of that are pork.
Oh, it's a pig farm.
It is. But as I say, if you get on Cagle's thing, some of the cartoons on there are just, I cut a couple of them out. They're hysterical when you watch the pig and the pork and everything like that. It's some of the puns.
I mean, the pig animal is just not big enough to represent.
Well, they showed this one where the pig is like takes up the entire frame, and then there's these little tiny lips, and they're putting lipstick on it.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. I mean, there's got to be some dinosaur creature, you know, that, you know, Triceratops.
Pegasaurus.
Yeah. Pegasaurus. Oh, this is a great one. I remember this one was going around, too. This is an Obama quote. "We don't begrudge anybody for achieving success, and we believe that success should be rewarded. But what gets people upset, and rightfully so, are executives being rewarded for failure, especially when those rewards are subsidized by U.S. taxpayers." And then Jimmy wrote back, and he's going, "If this were to apply to members of Congress, their pay would be zero or less."
Yeah, I mean, honest to God, you talk about people that have abject failure. Abject failure are those guys. That, and they get an automatic pay raise. You know, $5,000 this year, they got an automatic pay raise. Mm-hmm. It's stunning. I mean, they should be arrested.
Pension after one term,
Jim. Oh, my God. I mean, you talk about people that are the Peter Principle, people that have risen to their twice over their level of incompetence is those people in Congress. They how they go to bed, except for the fact that they have no shame button. I mean, it's been shot off, or they have no shame gene. They have no zero. I mean, they can just walk around with a smile on their face and say, "Well, Billion, yeah, we're going to do the bailout. We're going to do this, and it's just so happy." And I'm going like, "Well, you're like an alien pod person or something," and they are. Man. You want to take a little break or what? How are we doing here?
Yeah, we can take a little break.
Let me check it out. Yeah, we can take a break.
Let's do that.
All right. And we will.
Rolling.
We'll be right back on the Jimmy Doan Show.
Jimmy Doan.
We're talking about drugs. I always want to talk about drugs.
You know, I mean,
I want to be covered in drugs.
Yeah.
If you're down and confused and you don't remember who you're talking to, concentration, slip away, 'cause your baby is so far away. Well, there's a road in the distant love, and an eagle flies with the dove. And if you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with, love the one you're with, love the one you're with, love the one you're with. Don't be angry, don't be sad, don't sit crying over good times ahead. There's a girl right next to you, and she's just waiting for something to do. And there's a rose in the crystal glass, love the one you win.